On today's Restomp podcast, we'll review three quarters of a Dockers practice match. We'll have a look at what JL had to say afterwards about Fife playing forward. And Josh Tracy's got a new nickname, but right now, let's start wearing purple with Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restomp Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, and as always, I'm joined by a man who's well known for half finishing a job, so he had no issue with the game finishing at three-quarter time on Saturday afternoon. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yeah, so I like that. But that's actually true.
Well, everything I say is true.
It is. Yeah, no, it chopped out on us, but what can you do?
Well, it was three quarters of pretty enjoyable footy before that, wasn't it?
Very good. Really loved it. Really liked it. And we'll get into it a bit later, but yeah, very pleasantly surprised to some extent, and very pleased.
I think the one thing I took away from it in the commentary during the game a little bit and then afterwards was the list of Eagles players that were missing. Yeah. For some reason, an almost delisted Mark Hutchings was a big omission from the West Coast team.
Well, yeah. Why did they – I didn't think they said they were without Ben Cousins. So, but, yeah, it seems a bit like that, doesn't it? They pick out every player that ever played for the club that's not there. Well, big out. Yep. Big out. Yeah. So – but it was the reality was they did have a few out. We rested a few at half time, and good result.
Oh, absolutely! You'd rather be on the winning side than the losing side any game you play, right?
Yeah, definitely. But I tell you what, though, I wish someone had turned the lights on, Jojo. Felt like it was filmed on Facebook Live or something, and with an iPhone or something. It was very dark, very shadowy.
The production quality wasn't great, was it? And far be it from us to criticise anyone and their production quality, because the quality of this production. Yeah. But did you have – I feel like my audio only kicked in halfway through the first quarter as well.
Yeah, it was all over the place.
And was it Adam Papalia and Tim Gossage? And one of the guys – I think it was Paps – was heaps louder than Gossage. And then Simon Eastor only got introduced halfway through the game. Like, I was wondering who that was.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't notice. And then you would have been better then to have the others two – go and just leave leave Eastall commentating. That would have been ideal. But it was a bit sort of dog and pony showish, wasn't it? But
is it one of those instances where you've just got to be happy you got something?
Yeah, I think so. You know what, though? We've got to address the final quarter blackout. We have to address that, Jojo.
You weren't happy about that.
Hey?
You're not happy about that.
But you, come on, you can't be happy about that.
I didn't really see the point, to be honest. But
no. And the reasoning given was the contractual arrangements with the broadcasters. Now, I don't know about you. I it's well known I harbour a healthy degree of scepticism on most fronts. So I'm not necessarily believing that was the actual case. I'm not convinced the website streaming of, a meaningless practice match was written into the multi-billion dollar contract telecast rights. Do you think?
Yeah, probably not. I think they were just trying to encourage people to turn over and watch the AFLW. But
that's right.
It is what it is. You get back on and watch the last quarter. I get where you're coming from, but it's probably not a big deal in the preseason, is it?
Absolutely a big deal. I didn't like it one bit.
Well, you're a conspiracy. And I know you're a conspiracy theorist. What do you think about this for a conspiracy theory, that due to the poor performance of the team in blue and gold – or canary yellow.
Yeah.
The powers that be just decided to, an old fashioned mercy rule, let's switch it off at three quarter time. We've seen enough of this.
Well, do you know what, though? It didn't affect West Coast Eagles supporters. They'd already turned off anyway. Three quarter time, they're gone.
You just think it's normal performance.
Does that not happen every time they're behind by, actually, they can be in front by a couple of points and they'll still turn off. So I'm not sure that's I don't think it affected them one bit. In fact, to be honest, I don't even think they knew there was a game on.
Well, it'll be a bit different this week. We've got the double header, so one will follow the other. We won't have that issue.
No. But, Yeah, beyond the and the on that. Why wasn't the crowd allowed in?
It was a strange one, wasn't it? I mean, there's a few bits and pieces of crowd in the outskirts, so you imagine that must be support staff, and then there looks like some random people watching from outside the fence with a couple of deck chairs set up. Yeah, you wonder what was to be lost. I suppose maybe they were fearing too many people would turn up.
But this week?
So this week they're playing at Optus.
Oh, okay, they can control.
I think they've had local council issues with, what's it called? Mineral Resources Park. Is that what it's called now? So I think they weren't allowing for the Eagles to play any of their community-based games there because they were worried about the impact on local residents, parking, all that kind of business. So.
Oh, I tell you, these suburbs the people that want to live close to a football ground then complain when there's cars in front of them.
We're not just having a whinge, are we?
It is a bit like that. I am feeling a bit peeved, but I'll tell you why I'm a bit peeved. Just getting away from that for a second. Our round one match, they want to flick it to, what's that stadium called? Superman Oval?
I think the idea put forward was to move it. We've got our fixture against Melbourne, I believe, at the MCG.
Yeah.
And they want to move us to Marvel, and then Essendon want to move their fixture over to the MCG for the increased capacity because they can have about 50,000, I think, at the MCG and about 27,000 at Marvel.
Yep.
Yep.
And you think that's fine?
Look, I can understand from your tone already that you don't think it's fine, but to me that kind of makes sense.
You know,
we've just come off a season where we've got decreased revenue in every which area of football we look. I think maximising crowds, if we're going to have these premiers that mean, you know, we can't have full crowds, it makes sense, doesn't it?
How often do you get maintenance done on that fence that you sit on all the time, JoJo?
This is not sitting on a fence.
You're sitting on the fence. You can't possibly think that that's – why is it – look, I actually don't mind playing the game at Marvel. Because we're assured of a dry game and we'll get a good look at the team and where we're at in actual match day conditions. But it's the arrogance and the flippancy of that Jared Watley, whatever his name is, that his gospel-like commentary in dismissing Fremantle and Melbourne just flicked them over. You know? That is typical Jared, JoJo. That is typical Jared. He is the Leo DiCaprio of the AFL. And by that, I mean, in the morning, he'd lecture us about reducing our fossil fuel dependency. Then that afternoon, he'd call the Australian Grand Prix. I can't copy his. But go back to 2013. Where was his, we got to maximise crowds then? 2013 in the final down at Geelong.
Oh, you think he might have been all right with that one?
He was all right with that one. He made excuses for the. They got everybody in that they wanted anyway.
Jared Watley copped it a fair few times from you last year, and he hasn't even had to wait till the bounce down of round one this year.
Mate, I tell you, I'm outraged at Jared, but I think we should stand our ground. Now, I don't know what the result is, whether we're playing at the MCG or Marvel, whatever, but I reckon we should stand our ground because we need every advantage we've got, every little advantage. Now, we've got a better strike rate at the MCG than at Marvel, JJ. So get this, right? So the Docklands, right, 20 wins from 61 matches. That's our record. 32.79% winning strike rate. At the MCG, 18 wins from 53 matches. 33.9%. who knows what that extra 1.2% adds up to at the end of the year?
It's another ball in the lottery, isn't it? I think for what it's worth, I'm pretty sure I heard on the radio this afternoon that the AFL is not looking at changing the fixtures for round one. So I think we're safe. I think we're staying at the G.
Really? Ooh, I wanted the game at Marvel. I like the roof closed and dry conditions.
Yeah, had about enough of this. Did you watch the practice match on the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's difficult to get a real guide on it, on where we are from a scratchy like that. And
I reckon you can do little bits and pieces and you can see, You could see the beginnings of what they're trying to do with respect to ball movement a little bit. You can see improvement in individual players, like you know. So, was there anything that kind of stood out to you?
Well, yeah, I think that, to be honest, that I liked something that stood out to me was the decision making. It just it seemed to be highly improved on, you know, in recent years, and probably the longer the game went on. I don't think it was flash early, but it got better as the game went on. And even under pressure at times, when there was a bit of pressure, they just still seemed to be able to make that right decision and execute it. You would think that would have to translate to better and more, or to rapid forward line entry and delivery.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think also it was kind of more consistent than it was last year across the board.
Yeah.
So it seemed like everyone was on the same page. When you were in a certain area of the ground, in a certain game situation, the same result was attempted to be achieved, whether it be coming back through the middle or where the ball was kicked in the forward line.
Mm.
I think my real takeaway from the match, and it's probably one of our strengths from last year, but just continuing on, was the small forward work. I thought that they were really, really good. The pressure,
good.
Getting front and centre. I think their first goal might have been Walters getting front and centre and snapping. And for me, that's where I want to see him this year. He played, I think, almost exclusively forward on the weekend. And what did he kick? He kicked four, I think.
Four goals, two or something, I think. And it's funny. It's what we were talking about, weren't we, Ian, last podcast, about that's what we need this year from him. We need him to be a stay down there forward sort of thing.
But just the fact that he was getting front and centre, you know, he can get out on the lead, he can get his own footy. But the fact he's willing to sacrifice and get defeat, he's so dangerous. If he just adopts that role and really embraces that role for us this year, he could kick 3-4 a game.
Well, he could. And I'm actually doing something at the moment, out of interest to me anyway, on goals over the last 25 years. And that's when we go, well, when he's out there kicking 40 goals a year, that's when we've had really good years. So it's paramount that he does that. And you know what, with speaking of Sonny, sometimes, I know this is wrong, but sometimes I wrongly think of him as sort of, you know, good old familiar, reliable Sonny Walters. And you unintentionally fall into that little bit of complacency trap. And then, you know, he always gives you that reminder, like a game like that the other day. And I know it was against the Eagles, against wasn't anything really to play for. But he gives you that reminder when he plays something like that. And like you just said, that he does it front and center, he gets out on the lead, he's up the ground. It's sort of, you get that hit of reality and you just think, God help us if he wasn't there, if we didn't have him. And every so often, he just gives you that little nudge and say, mate, I'm still here. And, you know, don't overlook me or don't take me for granted. And I think looking at what we saw yesterday or Saturday from him, I think he's in for one of those big years.
Yeah. But I think that's got a lot to do with him personally and him really engaging in the role that he's been given in the team. I think last year, whether you like it or not, I think he had his heart set on being one of the league's premier midfielders. I think that's what he really wanted. I don't think the forward 50 thing was really resonating with him that strongly. But after watching the weekend, I think that he's really growing into it, and maybe, you know, he's seen the young guys coming up through the middle. I mean, we started with Chera, Brayshaw and Fife in the middle. I think it was the first bounce. But we're going to have the younger crew go through that midfield area. So he's got to understand, I think, now, and he looks like he maybe is, that forward line is his home. And he'll get moments where he'll run through the midfield.
Yeah.
But he's really got to work on his forward craft. And I think, that's his best spot for us. And he showed how dangerous he could be.
Yeah. And it really is, because we can't think about getting an extra 4 or 5 goals a game if he's not up there. No. We're just not going to get him, you know. So unless he's a predominant forward. I think you're right, though. He's going to get chances where he's going to get to run through the middle. And he even got up the ground in that match a bit at times. But he was, you know, straight back home very quickly.
The way they set up forward, or at least to begin the game, it looked like Liam Henry was starting in the goal square by himself again, which they did last year, which I thought was a little bit crazy because he's probably only 70 kilos wringing wet. But he did a few good things. I mean, he took that mark under pressure and kicked a goal early on. He didn't stand out as it wasn't like a game-breaking performance, but he showed enough to suggest that he's going to progress a little from last year.
Yeah, definitely. And you can see the size he's put on. He's put on a bit of bulk and I think you saw enough flashes there to say, he'll take a step this year.
The captain, Nat Fyfe, that goal was quite brilliant. The smother, the follow-up. I mean, for a practice match, he was bringing the intensity level that few others were.
Well, some of them had to. That was unbelievable, wasn't it? That was good. I'm putting it down for goal of the year. That was just... It was outstanding. And as you said, it was the meaningfulness of it. There wasn't a lot to gain out of doing it, but for him, that shows you where probably his and a few others' mindsets are at, aren't they?
But I think actions like that from your captain and the guy that most of these young guys that we've drafted look up to, one action like that on the field early in the game really sets the tone for everyone else.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it ever.
I think the pressure on the weekend was great, even though it was a practice match. I mean, these guys were going hard. They were chasing hard, tackling, putting pressure on West Coast and causing turnovers. I reckon when Fyfe goes and sets the tone, does something like that early on, everyone else toes the line.
So that then leads into we do need him in the middle for a lot of the time.
There's an interesting one, that, isn't it? I mean, I think it was it yesterday or today? JL gave an interview and he said that Frio's a better team with Fyfe forward. I mean, that had the caveat of these young guys actually standing up and holding the midfield down themselves.
Yeah.
But I tend to agree with Longmuir. I reckon if we can leave Fyfe forward longer than we have him in the middle, that is an ideal scenario for us. But I don't think you can rob Frio's midfield of someone like Fyfe.
No.
His clearance work and just what he did on the weekend. He's got to be in there. And if that means he does what, you know, a Dusty Martin does, where he goes in for centre bounces then drifts forward, maybe doesn't play around the ground as much. But I think you've got to have him in there at the centre bounce as much as you possibly can.
Well, pretty partly for the reason what you were just saying, when he does something like he did early in the game, it just sets the tone, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like if you could have Fyfe forward and he kicks you 35, 40 goals a year.
I mean, he should do. If he didn't, it's a failed experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I guess it all comes down to Walters as well. If he's kicking 30 or 40. And it's interesting just on the goals. On what I've been looking at the moment, it really does sort of, it's showing up that you need multiple 30 goal kickers a year, you know.
Unless you've got that one gun, which not too many teams have.
Well, unless you've got someone kicking 80 or 90.
Yeah, it's going to be done by committee for sure.
Yeah.
We're talking about that, I thought Rory Lobb, he had that one marking contest where he followed up on the ground and kicked a goal. He looked pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Your man, Josh Tracy, was pretty quiet except for that. He competed hard, but he got that one lead-up goal, I think it was in the third quarter possibly, and he slotted it.
Slotted it from ease from 50 plus.
Well, it wasn't 50, I don't think.
It was 50 plus.
Must have been pretty shadowy and pretty dark on the screen you were watching in. I think it was from about 35, but let's call it 50.
No, it wasn't 30. It was like you're working on the NBL three-point line to the NBA three-point line. That's what you're working on.
So, but discussing the forwards, I think the forward line looked like it functioned pretty well.
It actually did, didn't it? And even the Minari, JoJo. Even he showed some really good signs again. And do you know what I saw with those guys, Liam Henry, you know, Freddie. They've grown in size and stature, and you could actually see the confidence, or their sense of confidence that they had in themselves to get amongst it. Whereas maybe last year, you know, and understandable, just didn't have that, you know, which what you expect from first game players. So,
they were skinny, scrawny little kids last year, though. I mean, and it takes a little while to learn the speed and the pace and feeling comfortable in your new club. You got to give them a chance.
Oh, definitely. But that's what I really – what about that rundown tackle from Freddie? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Him and Walters, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was something else. Reminded me of the one last year where he gave Liam Duggan third-degree windburn on his way to goal. But what about, you were talking about Walters, and he was part of that tackle. Now, that was pretty much going into the Eagles' forward line when they did that. A minute later, Walters takes a mark line up for goal.
Yeah.
How hard does that guy work? Crazy.
And I think that's what's so good about the elder statesmen that we've got at the club now. Mm. You know, you think about the Mundys, the Fifes, Walters, these guys. I mean, they're the kind of guys you want setting examples for the top 10 draft picks you got coming through the door.
Don't you?
We haven't always had the best example setters at Frio, I wouldn't have thought. We've had guys coming here for a bit of a retirement check sometimes.
And, yep.
You know, maybe guys that have been on the tail end of their career or not quite performed as what they have at other clubs as being older players. But these guys are drafted by Fremantle, had relative success at Fremantle without the ultimate success.
Mm.
But now they're really ushering in the next crop in the best possible way.
And they're probably thinking themselves, well, we're in the twilight of our careers. If ever we've got to do it now, if ever we're going to get it done, you know. So in terms of trying to get that ultimate success. So they can probably see if we don't get it in the next 2 or 3 years, we're going to miss out.
Now, the back line we've spoken about a lot through off-season and pre-season. Your man Cox, I thought, really staked a claim to get a starting spot in the back six on the weekend. He was really good.
Yeah, I was starting to eat me Adelaide words, Jedra.
Yeah.
But he was really good. He was I've got to keep all this in perspective, you know, and I'm not taking anything away from him, but to be honest, I think some of the Eagles were playing under the current indoor venue, 4 square meter COVID safe zone rules. I don't think
you still have to be able to read the footy though, and I think he did that really well. He positioned himself up really well to work around everyone else.
He did that, but there wasn't a lot of heat. But I did like what he did.
Yep.
I thought he was great. I'm not gonna really take anything away from him.
And more so than anything they did on the field, but it was really good to see Pearce and Hamlin get through the game relatively easily, I would have said. Like we didn't really have any moments where you thought, oh, they're not right. They look good in what they did and did the job.
There was talk that he had the boot off and was icing his foot up, but maybe that's just management, you know, I don't know.
Pearce. Oh, Pearce, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know
if there is anything in that or not, but yeah. And would you do that? Maybe you would do that anyway. I don't know the how you would handle coming back from what he's come back from. So
I'm sure they'd take every precaution they possibly can.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? So.
But I think Longmuir's already said, as everyone who follows the Dockers would know, they're going to have some pretty tricky decisions coming up to round one when it comes to picking that back line.
Yeah, that's true. Mind you, is Luke Ryan there?
Well, I think Luke Ryan looks like he'll be all right. Seems minor. Griffin Logue's done a hamstring though, is that right? So he's going to be out for a bit.
Did he?
So we're going to need depth. You're always going to need depth, but
yeah,
there's going to be some unlucky guys that miss out.
I still think they're foxing with Luke Ryan.
To bury yourself with that take. It's not going to be right ever.
Mate, even the commentators, they're on board with that, my call.
You couldn't hear the commentators, and it's Tim Gossage and Adam Papalia.
I heard them say after he went down, they said he won't be back. He'll be forward. He won't be back. You know when you start a rumor and you push it and it's collapsing all around you and you can't find the exit door, Jada?
Well, I don't know. I'm not that guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm past that point of no return. I'm doubling down and now I'm living in hope. Imagine if he does get a stint up forward in round one, if they send him up.
It's just not going to happen.
It might happen. I'll be getting around like I've got a watermelon under each arm. No. I tell you what, that was dirty though with Jared
Brenda? Oh, yeah.
Do you know, if I was JL, right, my last minute rev up in future derbies, would be something along the lines of, if you boys get the opportunity, you know, make sure Andy Gaff knows we haven't forgotten about him. And if you can't get Gaff, Jared Brander is second prize.
Oh, well, you tell the boys down at Peel that, would you?
Down at Peel?
Brander's not a first-choice player, is he?
Well, if he's in the team.
Just maybe.
Drill that into their heads, Jojo. I'd also quietly and quickly throw in a keep it legal, just for a disclaimer. But that was filthy. He dropped the knees into his back, Jojo.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't nice.
Wasn't.
The midfield, just quickly, I mean.
We missed one out of the back line, Jojo.
Who's that?
How could you forget this guy? Hayden Young.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. Hayden Young. I was going to talk about the young guys altogether, but Hayden Young, we can go first. Yeah. He showed a lot, didn't he?
Didn't he ever. You know,
and beyond the run and getting forward, he had a couple of shots in the end.
Oh, beyond the Sonny Walters, the Trazies and the, you know, the Cherers, and I can't wait to see Hayden Young put a full season together. He's going to be something else. He's Bitcoin when Bitcoin was $500, Jojo. We should be buying his stock big time. So
I think quite a few people rate him. I don't know if he's lowly priced at the moment. But I mean, even Chapman as well. Chapman showed a bit in the small amount of time. He seemed composed already at this level. But the main group of young guys I wanted to talk about was the mids. I mean, we only saw a half a game from Chera, but Brayshaw's game, he looks like he's working hard to get better at his deficient items anyway. I mean, he wasn't great last year at his decision-making and disposal still.
Yep.
Is that fair?
Definitely.
And I think
fair.
He had his few moments where he wasn't great on the weekend, but you can tell that he's done work on it and he's getting better, I reckon.
He just looked like – you could just see he's raised a level. There's a straw – not chalk and cheese from last year, but definitely he's taken a step up.
Yeah, there was less just banging it on the boot. There seemed to be a little bit more thought about it and
– a bit more polish.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, he's one who's going to help hold down the mid something chronic, isn't he? He's going to be, him along with the Adam Cheras of the world.
And Caleb Sarong doesn't look like he's going to regress like we hoped.
No.
He looks like he's going to take another step forward. So in those three guys,
yep,
they really hold the key to Fife playing big minutes forward. If they can hold down those midfield spots. Yep. Blake Akers looks like he's nailed down a spot on the wing already, so...
Yep.
You know, that's one side of the field that we've got covered there. He played really well.
Yeah.
I think it's also you can see it starting to come together, I reckon, down at Freo.
I think you can. Oh, I'll be honest. I'm not sleeping until we secure Chera's signature. His work in that first half, his body work, like, you know, I can't believe how strong he's gotten over 18 months or whatever you want to call it.
I think that area of his game's always been underrated a little.
Maybe. Yeah,
he's always
maybe.
Had quite a good frame, and I think he does play a physical brand of football. But some of these guys that have got good skills and they get on the outside and finish well, sometimes you just think of them as not being hard at the footy.
No, I wasn't saying he wasn't hard at the ball, but I just noticed that the way he was knocking guys off the ball, like, or out of position, you know, at the contest, you know, I can see what Josh Carr's talking about. You know, him being a one of those really top-line inside mids. And I wasn't on board with it when he first said it, but, I've come around. I think that he is going to be huge value there.
And as far as the game style go, I think it was Brayshaw who spoke about them trying to come more through the middle of the ground and being more aggressive with their ball movement.
Hmm.
I reckon we saw it in patches throughout the game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there were still quite a few times where we entered 50 from quite wide.
Hmm.
So... I think they did try. It was obvious they were trying to make quicker decisions and move the ball quicker than what they did last year. We didn't fall into those patches where, you know, there was 10, 15 minute lulls where we were just kicking the ball around in circles.
That right. It was a three. Well, what I saw, it was a 3.5 quarter effort, Jojo.
Yeah.
So I didn't see the last half of the quarter, but the screen went blank, Jojo. But anyway, we'll move on from that. Jojo, Lloyd Braun.
Do you know that I was really encouraged by that performance, but at the same time, it made me wonder why didn't we get a look at him at any point last year when Sean Darcy went down?
Mate, took the words out of my mouth.
It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, how could you see that on Saturday and think, how did this kid not get a run? It's, but maybe has he improved since then? Like, JL hasn't put too many, hasn't put a foot wrong to, you know, to date. How did he, but you, it makes you wonder.
He didn't set the world on fire by any stretch, but he competed as hard as anyone else on the ground. I reckon he had the better of Vardy easily in the ruck contest.
Yeah, I was going to say, Vardy's not the yardstick, is he?
No, he's not. You know? But I mean, in terms of, if you were picking a side in round one and Sean Darcy doesn't get up.
Oh, he's in.
If I gave you the option of playing Tracy and Lob up, Tracy and Tabs up forward with Lob leading the ruck, or Lob and Tabs up forward with Meek in the ruck, which one are you going to go for? Because I know that I'd have Meek in the ruck every time.
Wow, that's a would you rather.
Oh, but I'm just saying, like, after that performance, like, what would you want to see? I don't think there's too much of a question. I think after what we saw with Lob and how he performed leading the ruck, you'd give Lloyd Meek a chance in the ruck every day of the week.
Oh, you would, but I can't.
You can't draw. You want to see Josh Tracy.
I can't.
He's not going to play round one.
No, I don't think so. He's.
I just think that if you didn't have confidence in what Lloyd Meek could do, and at least hold up an end, you know, you can get in there and tell him to break it even. He might not do it against the Nick Knacks and the Max Gorns, but you can guarantee he's going to give you an effort. He's going to give you an effort. He's a good runner.
I tell you what I did like also with him was his follow-up work.
He competes really hard, doesn't he?
Didn't he really compete? Yeah. So, yeah, very strange he didn't get a look in last year. But, as I said, JL's not put a foot wrong, so I'm not going to hold that against him.
Oh, yeah, and I say, not holding it against him, but it just makes you wonder, like, what was going on last year and why he didn't get a look in?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So.
Your man Tracy, the story came out after the game, he's got a nickname. The big kahuna. Yep. Is that an acceptable nickname from the Chiefs' point of view? I know big on these kind of things.
Well, we spoke about this last podcast. Then I said, I've got huge concerns about his nickname. And the big kahuna, that's what they're calling him. Now, I mentioned it last week, you probably tuned out, which is not uncommon. The big kahuna. It's a late 90s Hollywood film starring Kevin Spacey, JoJo. Do you remember this?
I do remember this.
Now, I don't like JT having any reference to any of these flipping Hollywood pedophile perverts or whatever they are. You know? So I've got concerns.
You've got concerns.
But considering that Brayshaw explained it and that Kahuna is Tracy come from in Victoria, and that it's spelt differently, I'm giving it a pass. I'm willing to get on board.
I thought that'd be too basic for you. Don't you like a bit more work put into these nicknames than just where you came from?
Yeah, but the dumb down ones seem to take off, JoJo. They seem to get. You can't be too cryptic, otherwise, like the airplanes goes over.
Okay, so you're not too concerned about that. Something that I know that you're going to be a little bit more concerned about is the new man on the mark rule. I don't think I've ever seen anyone get as much enjoyment out of anything than last year when we saw the acrobatics and 360s and handstands and whatever else Cox and Luke Ryan were doing as manning on the mark. We're not going to see that this year. It's going to be 50-meter penalty.
Filthy on that. I am so dirty on that. We were at 100% strike rate on that tactic working.
And it will be. It'll live at 100%.
That's it. Yeah. Well, that's the positive. Do you know what? I'm not even going to refer to Steve Hocking anymore as Steve Hocking. It's Gary's brother. What is this rule supposed to achieve, really? Do you know?
I think they're trying to make it so the man on the mark can't crib to try and defend a runner or to try and tackle someone who's running from behind. They want to encourage quicker ball movement and to be able to get the ball on without the man on the mark tackling the receiver.
Kafka-esque example. Unnecessarily complicated and ironically illogical, JoJo. The game is hard enough for umpires already to umpire. So
then this is what I was wondering. Do you blame the rule makers or do you blame the umpire for the interpretation on the weekend? Because I've got to say, I blame the umpire.
I blame the rule makers. The umpire shouldn't be put in that position.
But the umpire's job is to make decisions, right?
Yep.
So they've got to understand, take the rules into context and then apply them to what they're seeing.
But that's the That's the problem. We're asking umpires to officiate in the grey area.
But that's not even a grey area.
Of course it is.
What, if a guy takes a backward step on the mark, then it's 50 metres?
He took a... His foot went to the right. It's the dumbest decision I've ever seen, but I'm not going to blame the umpires because that's how they're told to officiate it.
I'm going to say to you that we're not going to see a decision like that at any point of the regular season competition.
How much? Your stake. I'll bet you on that because we'll see it. And I'll tell you when we'll see it. It's when we're about to kick a goal to win a game. We're about to defend a goal. Defend a goal.
They can't possibly. People would blow up.
Do you know what? You're
cannot
right.
possibly pay that in season. And then that umpire would have to be educated, and then every other umpire that's going around would have that footage like plastered in front of them a dozen times until they got it through their heads that that's not why the rule was implemented.
You're saying that in a manner that you've forgotten about. We suffered 8 dodgy rules in the space of 32 seconds against Carlton last year. This happens, JoJo.
It does happen, but
what about the howlers in the Big Bash? These stupid things happen. And I'm telling you, it's gonna happen. But let's go one step further and talk loopholes. Now I love loopholes, JoJo. I love working out loopholes, especially those exploited by online casino companies that you hold shares in. But anyway,
So you're talking like a workaround here. What's our workaround on the mark? How else can we do
I'll tell you how you do it. Take a step backwards. So no, you're not manning the mark. Take a step backwards and move side to side all you want.
So I wonder what there'll be a rule, whereas if you're in X amount of distance of the point of where the mark is set, then you're technically on the mark. So you'd need to get back that far, right?
See, there's another rule we've got to officiate. It's ridiculous. No, I'm not
growing up in footy, you never used to be able to shepherd the mark, which you can apparently do now. And you weren't allowed to have more than one person on the mark. So those end of game shots where there's 18 blokes throwing grass in the air and jumping up and down, that would have been 50 metres, right?
Yeah.
So there's a number of rules that already exist that aren't enforced, because I'm sure that's still a rule that you can't have more than one person on the mark. I remember we got someone on someone's shoulders to get on the mark once.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You're not allowed to do that.
No. Dane Rampy's a slow learner, but he climbed a goalpost. The shepherding on the mark, though, that's not instant. They time that that they're far enough away, and then they're there close enough that when they call play on, they can get in the way. So it's not running up to the man while the mark's. Do you know what I mean? That's all timing. So I'm not,
it's interesting, these rules that they bring in. It's almost they bring in one stupid rule every year, so that's what people talk about.
Yep, that's right.
It's like a discussion point because no one's got busted for cocaine or no one's cheated on their wife this week, whatever. We need something to keep us in the news. Let's introduce a stupid rule about standing on the mark.
Yeah, no one's rolled a BMW that we know of. But you're right, they do. They bring in these things. They make no difference. How many times have we brought rules in under the proviso they're going to increase scoring or they're going to – and what? Scoring's going backwards. I'm telling you it's not.
Well, I think the idea with this one is the ball's just not going to be stagnant for as long. They want the ball moving end to end, side to side.
People are going to play on. The guy on the mark doesn't stop them.
If you're flat-footed, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're kidding. I think it's Steve Hocking justifying his – probably $8 million a year salary.
Is that much he gets?
They all get about that, don't they? They took a 50% pay cut last year, still went home with a couple of million each.
I don't know if that's correct. No, I don't think that's correct.
I'm making that up.
Yeah. Did you have any more takeaways from the practice match or anything else?
No, pretty. I was just wrapped with it. I do think we've got to be very, very careful. I don't think the Eagles were there in what do you say, spirit? I don't know. I just don't think they were, who they had out. I know we had our outs and we rested blokes at halftime. I just don't think they brought the intensity that you'll see this week.
I reckon we looked a bit more advanced than they are in the preseason. Yeah. I don't know if they've got problems with fitness or whatever it is. I mean, McGovern was off running laps with a few other blokes. Tim Kelly didn't play.
Yep.
But it does look like we're cherry ripe come round one.
Yeah.
That we're almost match fit, ready to go.
Mm. It did look like that. Mentally, physically. So having said, I'm happy to see that's where we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wouldn't discount us this week against the Eagles again. I think we take it right up to them at least. So I don't know who their ins will be, but happy to see the contest anyway.
I tell you what, it'd be a little bit worrying for West Coast fans, as it always is when Josh Kennedy is not forward.
Hmm.
Old mate Jack Darling really does not do much when he's up there by himself in terms of, you know, leading the line and creating a presence that you've got to fear. Like, we had him covered seemingly very easily all day.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? And I don't think he got a look in, did he, Harley? Only one cheap one when it went over the back.
Of the back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he was lucky to hang on to that. But I don't know. I think he's still got a lingering infected fingernail, broken fingernail issue. I think that's lingering, Jojo. I just don't know. There's something not right there.
Well, we'll see. We'll see this week if he's able to recover.
Recover, yeah. Hey, just quickly. I know we said this last podcast. Do you think we make the eight?
I think that we're going to be there or thereabouts, and there's going to be a couple of close games, as there always are every year.
Yep.
Those coin flip games, we're going to need them all to go our way.
Yep.
I see us, again, similar to last year, almost like that 6-10 range.
Yeah.
Seems about fair.
So you think it's going on that, you're probably looking at what, not quite a 50-50 chance, is it?
No, I don't know. How can you tell? You can't tell.
It's hard, isn't it?
But based off what we've seen so far, and you'd think with the improvement that we should see from the guys that have got a lot of room to improve, the youngsters more so than anyone else,
yeah.
I think we're going to be right in the conversation come round 15, 16. I think we should be a live chance at that point in the season.
$3.50 to make the eight, JJ.
I'd probably want a little bit more than that, to be honest.
I reckon that's not too bad. 5-2 in the old money. Just a tick over 5-2 in the old money.
We seem to have greater debt. The thing that buoys me a little bit, in past years, we've had to bring in guys that you'd wonder what they're doing playing. They don't deserve their spot in the 22. When you look through our list now and you look through the guys that are getting a game,
we
do seem to have greater depth. And you think, okay, well, if this guy goes down, we can bring this guy in.
Can cover it.
And they're not, you know, super. It's not superstar coverage at any bunny stretch at this point. But they're guys that, you know, I've seen him play well. I know what he can do. Where in the past, you're just, oh, okay, well, this guy, he's probably not going to bring us much.
Yeah, yeah. So that gives you confidence. I thought 350 wasn't too bad. I'm not going to take it either. I'd probably want a little bit more. But I thought that was pretty fair price. I tell you, just off Fremantle, who I am going to have something on. I'm going to have something on Sydney to make the eight. $5.10. I reckon that's a good price, Jojo. We should have got the Badger in here to do the betting.
they fly under the radar.
Yep.
They started to come good last year. They've been blooding young guys for 2-3 years.
Yep.
I think they're going to be a lot stronger. I think you're right. I think they're going to be a lot stronger than what people think. But, I don't know. I don't know if I'd have them in the eight either. I think there's going to be a few
probably,
improvers.
No, the price would get me, not necessarily that I'm absolutely calm, but I reckon $5 is a fair price to take the chance, you know.
Well, you told me who you think is going to do better. Who do you reckon is going to drop off?
Collingwood?
Yeah.
I think Collingwood are going to.
Well, that's almost by intention, isn't it? I mean.
Yeah, it looks it, doesn't it? Looks it. Maybe.
You know, the guy that played well in their scratch, he apparently was my man, Ollie Henry.
Yeah, I did read that. The one we looked over for another defender. So can never have enough defenders, Jojo. I think Collingwood might soften. Maybe St Kilda might maybe plateau a little bit. Maybe soften.
Has Geelong gone 1 year too many with loading up with 32, 33-year-olds to get that 1 year out? Who knows?
Could be the case, yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting, won't it? First first few rounds will be very, very interesting. So,
all right. Well, is that all you got?
It's everything, Jota. That's everything. We're now set for when's the game? This Saturday.
Yep.
So, are you going?
We're actually heading down to Dunsborough for the weekend. I think it's on Sunday.
Great support.
I think the women starts at about 1:30, and the boys start at about 4:10.
4:10. Okay. So we've got about a whole day of footy.
Whole day of footy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think on Sunday afternoon. Oh, no, Sunday afternoon we'll be back.
Sunday afternoon you'll be back.
Might redeem these tickets.
You'll be down there with down there in one of those wineries, sitting on a Chesterfield lounge or something down there, Jojo. That's your go.
Well, who's going to turn that down?
No, it should be a good game.
Well, we'll discuss it next week. But until then, are you still down with the restomp?
Oh, look, not getting ahead of ourselves. Wasn't a high-pressure game. Pressure is when you play for $20 a hole and you've got $3 in your pocket.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.